today on Real Life Radio.
Well, Pastor, you know, I got to really help God out on this one. No, you know what? He lets you get involved. He knows that we are dust. It doesn't sanction weakness. It takes me from my weakness and sets my feet upon a solid rock.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Hey, if you've got kids or grandkids, you're going to want to get this book. It's called Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants. It's written by author and speaker Ken Ham. Now, our younger generation is battling a culture of hate and adversity. You and I never really thought it possible. So for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life, our current featured resource, Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants is available at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues in his series called 1 Corinthians with the message titled Finding the Love of Your Life, Part 4. 1 Corinthians was written, of course, by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and shares with us how finding God really is finding an unconditional love that bears all things, believes all things, and endures all things. You see, God is love, holy and pure, a love that's unwavering, uncompromising, and not of the head but of the heart. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that God's love is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. God loves us so much, He gave His Son to the world not to condemn us, but to save us. Now with his message called Finding the Love of Your Life, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
You can't get the definition of love out of these verses and out of these words, because the definition is actually something that should apply to you and I in our daily living as Christians living out. We should be the defining hallmarks or touchstones of what God wants to do in our world. This is none other than the description of love. If someone were to ask you, what is the description of love? You would turn to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, and you could give the description. And we saw in our first study that in verse 4, it's all about God's humility, and that we see the love of our life, and we saw it this way, as finding Him who is altogether humble. It is awesome. And then in verse 5, we saw that it's all about finding Him who is altogether consistent. And I have to tell you that out of the four parts of these messages on this topic, I find that one the most comforting, that God is consistently in love with you and with me. He loves us. It doesn't change. That is valuable to me. I don't appreciate a spastic type of ever-changing relationships where someone is your friend this week if you do this or that or the other thing. But if you slightly upset them, then they're not sure if they like you. Who's got time for that? And who wants to be around someone like that? But when it comes to God, He is not like that at all. He's altogether consistent. In verse 6, we saw this, that finding the love of our life was finding Him who is altogether pure. We looked at the purity of Jesus Christ and what a wonderful, glorious thing that is. So now this morning, as we come to the fourth understanding, the fourth part, let me give you a couple verses to prepare us for the way this morning. When we talk about finding the love of our lives, when we talk about finding God as the one who loves us unconditionally, yes, He does, but He is holy God. Yes, He loves all people, but He doesn't compromise His righteousness. It does no damage this morning to say to His nature or to the Word of God or to reality that God loves everyone. But there are those going to heaven and there are those going to hell, not based on any lack of love on God's part, but on the other hand, the lack of love for people to have toward God. It is amazing to realize that no matter how bad or how good someone may be in hell this morning, they are there because they chose not to love God. They chose not to receive the love of the truth. That is a sobering thought. God loves. And Jesus Christ is the manifestation of such great love. This theology that I'm speaking about is not a theology of the head, but it's of the heart. A couple of verses I want you to have down in your notes before we get into this. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law." All those things are miraculous declarations. At the right time. You say, "I wish Jesus would have been born today." Well, that's too bad. At the right time, 2,000 years ago, God said, in all of the annals of history, of time and of future, the right time was 2,000 years ago, Christ came. And then it tells us that he came by sending his son. Then it tells us that he was born of a woman. That's all miraculous. And miraculously, he allowed himself to be brought under the demands of the law, the holy, righteous law of God. And then 1 Timothy 3:16, the Bible tells us there that without controversy, without debate, without argument, I mean, you can argue all you want, but you're gonna lose this argument, that great is the mystery of godliness, that is the revelation of the nature of God, that he was manifest in the flesh. Isn't that amazing statements? People will say today, "Jesus never claimed to be God." Yes, he did, and the Bible said he was as well. God was manifested in the flesh, says the scripture, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, which is unique, preached among the Gentiles, that's happening even now, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. This is the revelation of God. The revelation of God's love is the person of Jesus. Let me say one more thing that I may have echoed to you last week, but I want to say it. When you think about the love of God, you and I suffer from a syndrome that we don't meditate on it as we ought to. When you meditate, we would say today, you know, when you buy some meat, and if you're going to have all your friends over for a barbecue, one of the things that you would do is you would marinate the meat, if that's what you want to do. And what is somewhat maybe dull by it being marinated brings it to a very, very colorful or tasteful existence. For many people today, the Bible, Jesus, God is a ho-hum thought. It's boring to them. But if you choose to marinate on the Word of God and the Word of God marinating upon you, things begin to change. Life begins to change. A dynamic begins to change. You see life differently. You live life differently. Things happen. All because of the reality. And listen, Christian, the more you spend time with God's word, the more his word gets inside of you, and the different way and different experience and different reality do you see this world. It's all important. And so that's what I think as we consider these times. How seriousness it is. Listen to this. In John 3:15, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the one and only, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have, possess, own eternal life or everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. Isn't that amazing? He who believes in him is not condemned. That means condemnation has lifted from that person. Wow. Do you trust Christ this morning? Listen to this. But he who does not believe, trust in Christ, depend upon him, rely upon him, is condemned already, meaning that a person who doesn't believe in Christ is living in a state of condemnation. That is a terrifying thought, and I wish we had time to develop that now, but we don't. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, verse 19, John 3, and this is the definite article, the condemnation. That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. This is tremendous declaration of God's sovereignty to save, but man's responsibility to respond. Here we go. Part four, we end this portion of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. It is finding him who is altogether faithful. Will you jot that down as your fourth point in our series together? He is faithful. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, it says, love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And love endures all things. Throughout this study, I want you to be circling that word, things. Mark it down in your Bible. Highlight it. Things. I need you to keep an eye on that word as we go through these words in this one verse. Verse 7. Because it represents all the stuff of our lives. Circle the word things and put in there my stuff. The stuff I'm going through. The things I've got to deal with. Don't tell me now, but what is it in your life? It is your stuff. He bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things. He endures all things. It is those things that you need to see this Bible study in light of. And today there's something unique in your life. Since you and I met last, something's happened in your life. You've received some news, or you maybe got a promotion, or maybe you were fired. Maybe you were given some news from the doctor, or whatever it might be. Maybe you met somebody. Whatever it is, it's the things that God is trying to tell us this morning that he's so very faithful about. By the way, the word things, are you ready to write this down? You better write this down. This is amazing. The word things here means this: all forms thoroughly, whatsoever, whosoever, the whole sum of, each, every, any, all, the total, everything. That's what the word things mean. Can you think of something that's outside of that? I can't. It is everything. My Bible is telling us that he's altogether faithful in all the things of our lives. Do you really, do I really believe that? If we were all to be given a pink slip from our doctors tomorrow that we've got 6 months to live, that didn't surprise heaven. That doesn't surprise God. He knows these things. This is God's plan, unless he chooses to heal us. Imagine we've all been given the pink slip. Now, why should that surprise us when today we could walk out of this church and get hit by a truck? You think about that? Well, no. You know why? We don't like to think about those things. Because it's too personal. It's too final. It's too eternal. And God says, don't worry about that. There is no shockwave in heaven if a pink slip comes or the Mac or the grill of a Mac truck runs you over. Heaven is not shaken by that. If you receive that layoff notice this week, heaven is not brought to worry over those things. It's everything. So mark it down. Here we go. Finding him altogether faithful, number one, this way. By his faithfulness, he awakens me. He awakens you to his love. God is faithful, and you cannot separate the love of God from the faithfulness of God. It says in verse 7 that love bears all things. This word bears, or to bear, is a great word. It's pregnant with meaning for us. It means to take up with the hands, to scoop up. It means to take up in order to carry along. The word means to put upon yourself someone who's weak or unable to go any further, to carry them. The word means to bear what is in need of upholding, to carry off or away that which needs help. I sign up for that. That's me. Dear Lord Jesus, I need your love to bear me up in all things. I need him like this. I hope you need him like that too. By the way, in the Greek, the technical part of it, it means this. It's the present active, meaning that the Lord is right now waiting to carry your burden here and now. That's what the word means. God gave us the Bible, and the word means this, that God is waiting right now to carry you with his own hands, with his own shoulders. He's waiting for you to give him that. You see, why doesn't he just take it from me? Listen, we'll get to that as we get to the end of this message, but I'll give you a little hint. He will never wrestle you to the ground to get you to receive his blessings. He will ask you to take them. Oh, and that we can be very stubborn people.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
I was on vacation not too long ago. It was a Sunday morning, and Lisa and I got up to go to church, and I definitely had a strange impression, which was very odd for me because you don't hear this. And the Lord laid it on my heart. You go up to the pastor of the church you're going to today and extend your hand and ask him, what are the needs of the church? And then fulfill that need. That terrified me. Because my retirement passed in front of me, my 401k plan passed in front of me, some pathetic investments that I've made passed in front of me. And I thought, what am I supposed to do? You know what was amazing about that? Listen to this. God had put it on my heart and he beat it into me. It was a rough drive to that church. By the way, it was not here in Southern California. It was on a particular island that's about 3,700 miles from here. And the pastor doesn't know me. I don't know him. And so as soon as the pastor got done, in obedience to God, I got up from my seat and I made my way straight over and he's walking and he's and he was doing everything possible to get out of there. And I was like, and listen, my motive was sheer obedience to God, and I was getting kind of glad that he was ditching me. But I noticed he was ditching everyone else. And he ran off. Now look, I am a pastor. I know what it's like to drink a lot of water before I come out here to speak. And then you got to go, you know, coffee in, coffee out. That's how that maybe that was the issue. But then he got in his car and he drove away. Well, maybe there was a big problem. It didn't matter. You know what the Lord said to my heart? I mean, I didn't hear God say, Jack! I didn't hear a voice like that. It was a strong impression. And I really felt the Lord say to my heart, You did a good job. I was testing this pastor. I wanted, and you would have obeyed in giving him what he needs, but he's not receiving. I will never divulge the name. I will never tell you where I was at. But that pastor missed the blessing. And God told this pastor about this situation to bless another pastor. And let me tell you something about that lesson. It really spoke to me. That you and I suffer so much because we don't receive. God offers and we pass him by. Jesus wants to bear because Jesus is love. He wants to carry along our burdens and our cares. He wants to bless us and we so often have our hands folded. Or we don't spend time with him. Lord, I love you, but I'll talk to you later. And he wants to bless our lives now. He's a good and awesome God and he awakens me to his love by his faithfulness. He's really amazing. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is your refuge. Is that awesome? Oh, I need him as my refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Someone say amen. Underneath us are his everlasting arms. And he's got big arms. This bearing love of God is our focus as a believer. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:6, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Listen to this. Casting, verse 7, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How many of you have ever worried about something? Raise your hand. You know what we're supposed to do? I'm looking for something to throw. It means to heave or to throw it. To throw what? The problem. Are you worried about something? God says, right here, right now, throw it to me. Burn it right in here. Come on, give me the fastball. Grab the worry and throw it. You know what? Worrying, we were never supposed to worry, you and I. I like what was said a long time ago. It's a great statement. Worrying is when you and I assume a responsibility that was never intended to be ours. You never see your three-year-old walking around worrying about the mortgage payment. It's not their responsibility. Cast your cares upon the Lord. because he cares for us. And this love bears all things like, and I wrote a few things down, grief. His love bears our grief. I had a woman come up to me Friday night and she said, "Pastor, I want you to know I've come back to church." I was at another church on Friday night, and she's come back to her church. She said, "I've been away from church for a long time." I said, "Can I ask why?" She goes, "Oh, you sure can. I was going to tell you anyway. My 26-year-old daughter was killed. And from that point on," she said, "I didn't want to talk to God anymore, and I punished God." I said, "How'd you punish God?" "Because I wouldn't talk to him anymore. I walked out on him." I said, "You didn't punish God. You punished yourself." And I said, "I have to ask you, was your daughter a Christian when she died?" "Oh, yes, she's a wonderful Christian." And I said, "You know what? Listen, I grieve over your grief, but you've come back just in time because, dear lady, here's the thing. You're going to see your daughter soon. You're going to see your daughter soon. And it's best to see her soon rejoicing in what she's rejoicing in rather than complaining about the sovereign hand of God. Dear lady, your daughter died believing in Jesus. She could have died not believing in Jesus. And that's the difference between heaven and hell. And you'll see your daughter again." Grief. I don't know if you've gone, many of us have gone through grief. I don't know if all of you have. But if you're young and you haven't, time will come and you will. Or maybe you somehow think you've escaped the difficulties of life. You haven't, they're coming. So what are you cheering me up? Boy, you're really cheering me up this morning. It's great. No, listen, Jesus will bear you through the grief of it all, the brokenheartedness of it all. I wrote this down, sorrow. He bears me through my sorrows. Sorrow is connected with disappointment. Grief is associated with tragedy. Sorrow is associated with disappointments. You ever been disappointed? Jesus bears you through the disappointment. What about pain? In the way of suffering, pain. What about fears? Fears are strange things. Because what you don't fear as a young person or as a child, or there's certain fears. When I was a little guy, I don't know what the deal was, but for some reason, the Santa Ana winds, when I was a little tiny kid, when the winds blew at night, I thought it was a Satan outside my window, man. It scared me to death. When the winds blew at night, I was scared. I'd jump in my parents' bed. What is with that? And then as time goes on, you know, your fear seems to go from one thing to another. For many people who are not native to California, it's the thought of an earthquake. Don't even say the word, Pastor. I've heard people say, "Don't say the word earthquake." Oh, like what? Like I can cause one with my saying the word? But, you know, don't, no, listen. Fears, they have a sense of transitioning. As you get older, there's a lot of fears and phobias. The book of Proverbs warns us about this. Jesus is there to carry those things. And then there's sins, our sins. The Bible tells us that Jesus bears our sins. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 4, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities," our sins. "And the chastisement of our peace was upon him." That's that word to bear, to carry. "And by his stripes, the beatings of Christ, we are healed." Isn't that amazing? Do you know this Jesus? Have you experienced him? That this is your Christ, the Christ of Christmas, the one who bears all these things. He's faithful to bear these things in our lives. He's altogether faithful. Charles Spurgeon writes this: "There is the positive and the negative to this word, that his great love in the negative will not retaliate when offended. In the positive, it means that his great love takes on the full force of sin's ugly attack, and it shoulders them all." I like that. Jesus Christ shoulders our sins. The Bible tells us in response to this, he said, "Well, Pastor, what am I to do?" Those of us who are Christians, this is the love of God that has been displayed upon us. So what are we to do? It's Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Write it down. Galatians 6, verse 2, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Isn't that great? You are to care for one another.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Finding the Love of Your Life, Part 4. Thanks for listening today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, Bible prophecy, it's a fascinating subject, especially when it relates to current events. Now, you know, Pastor Jack can really dig in when it comes to prophecy and end times. You can watch Pastor Jack as he and his special guests discuss what the Bible says about the future, with topics like conflict in the Middle East, how our nation has turned its back on morality, and, of course, the global pandemic. You're sure to discover how it all lines up with the Bible and what God's plans are for His church in the end times. You can watch episodes of Happening Now when it's live on Facebook, also from Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, or at our website, that's jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.